Welcome to this call. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for being here. And let's go right into a short meditation. Just allow yourself to sit right on your sitting bones and taking a deep breath and allowing yourself to find that center where your core, your center line becomes active. And you might want to find the center in your head and then the center in your belly. 3 inches, 3 fingers below the navel and side. And connect again with that central line. That's right, beautiful. And allowing that line to go deep down and also up into the sky. It's coming into this present moment. Nothing matters right now other than completely being here, who you are. No expectations, nowhere to go, nowhere coming from. No agenda. I've been speaking about grounding on space, grounding in infinity, because the structures of the planet, or the three-dimensional constructions, have been swept away. And all there's left is now the structures of people's minds, whatever you personally, each individual, is believing in. These are the structures that you can hold on to or not. Better to just let it go. And to play in this field of infinite possibilities. Space. Infinity is pure potential. And as we were used to ground on something, on the planet, it caused a polarity between you and the planet, between us and the planet. And that's, again, a structure, an idea, a concept. Allowing ourselves to just ground in that which we are. And it is not a concept, it doesn't have a shape or form. Just allowing yourself to sink into what is. And if it helps you, you might bring your awareness down towards the center point of the earth. Knowing that you and the earth are one, has always been, will always be. And then even moving past the earth into source of earth, the mother of earth itself, the mother of everything. And resting in that, knowing that that's also what you are. Especially if you have a female body, you're having a female embodiment. That pure potential, that pure power is very much alive in the female form. If we let it. Let's bring our attention to the heart center. And the heart center is a place of renunciation, where we can let go, renounce all identification with feelings, with emotions, and just allow it to go a little deeper into the dark cave, the silent cave of the heart. And sometimes that darkness is light, and sometimes it is dark light. Whatever it is, just let it be. And when the thoughts come by, just let them float by. Let feelings float by. Nothing can disturb the silence of the heart. We're just going to allow now the heart to open up further into the transpersonal heart, not just your heart, but the bigger, larger heart. It just happens. There's nothing for you to do. Knowing that there is really only one heart. And no matter what experiences others are having, you're abiding in that one heart with them. Everybody is in that one heart. And we don't get confused what happens on the surface. Maybe people are crying. Maybe certain facial expressions are seen by the senses. But you know that deep within, there is the silence. The silence that love is. Beautiful. So it's not going to be easy to speak because love doesn't have and doesn't need many words. But I will repeat a few thoughts that we spoke of yesterday. And this is the heart module. We're finishing up the heart module. And it has been challenging for some of you. And some of you have made some great shifts. Everybody has gone through something and or is in the process of transforming, changing, shifting, realizing, whatever we want to call it. And the heart is always about pain. And there is a lot of pain. We live in the dark ages of Kali Yuga that is now going and has gone into the spring of the Kali Yuga. And yet we are even more sensitive and more conscious now of pain. We don't accept certain things that people accepted 200 years ago or even 50 years ago. We think it's barbaric now. We think it's horrible. And at the same time, many events like that are still taking place on this planet. So it becomes what we call stressful. But it doesn't have to be. Because you know that if you go deep and rest in your heart, you know that everything is in oneness. And that your work is to be there and hang out there. And as you do that, your heart opens. And when you open your heart, it reconciles the tyrants and the victims in this world. You first do it within yourself and in your own environment, in your own family. You begin to see past the drama and take responsibility for your role. And you know that the outside is your unconscious, so you begin to reconcile that. You do it by acknowledging, first of all, that the outside is a projection, and to feel that again, to own that, and to know that it's something that can be experienced, but it's not real. So you rest in your understanding, in your reality, in your realness, in your core, and allow the heart to feel. And the feeling part of the heart is so challenging because it's just so much resistance. And that's why I say that feeling things doesn't hurt you. It doesn't damage you. It feels painful, but it doesn't damage you. In fact, the heart has already that constriction, and when it opens in order to feel, you can feel that tearing because it opens, it heals, so it's a sign of healing. And it becomes easier and easier because the shadow is being removed that splits the heart in two, that causes the perception of duality. So you ask yourself, maybe how do I live in duality and at the same time be in oneness? It's not that difficult, because your senses are perceiving things, and at the same time you are being what you are. Like, your heart keeps beating constantly throughout your whole life, always the same way, as you do all these other things. So we do multitask already. So just imagine that energetically you can also be open in the heart. You know, it's not a fake openness, it's a real integrated being, one, and having no issue, no projection going on. And at the same time, on the surface, there's this body that your eyes can see and that is relating to the world as something other than yourself. So, the other thing we spoke about yesterday is the processing part. And I'll just repeat very quickly that if you have challenges with the processing part, then the main issue is that you haven't acknowledged the world outside as your unconscious. That there's somewhere, almost like you get stuck in your thinking, you're tripping up because it's just so difficult to understand. You won't understand it. I am saying you will never understand. You just have to take it as a given. It's a fact. Just as science says, there's just one substance or one existence. It's just a fact, and you have to ground yourself on that. You have to live according to that, and then that helps. The other thing is that, I don't know who asked me this, but maybe I'll talk about it. What is it like to live in the enlightened state? I remember, although as a child, everything was light, and then it later started to sort of shut down. Other things, karmas came through that had to be lived through and such. I would just not have these ideas about enlightenment that were so difficult to understand, because you're trying to understand through your mind. So the best way I can describe it, it's that the ability to be so present in the present moment comes from the simultaneous experience, and that everything is infinite. Just time just goes on. It has no beginning, no end. So the concept of being born and dying at some point is becoming a concept. It's just not real. What's more real is that you've ever always been here. And so that kind of gives you patience. That gives you perspective. There's nothing to rush after. There's no goal that you have to achieve. You can actually just be here, enjoy what is. And the more you be here, your gaze penetrates deeper and deeper into existence, and it becomes quite pleasurable. And everything has sort of a glow. Everything is light. And depending how deeply you immerse yourself in the light, it becomes stronger. You can also move your attention away from it and perceive things in a different way. But it's up to you. So there is no, you're not stuck. I think the main thing is you're not stuck. That's why I talk about mastery. To me, mastery is that you just have freedom to move wherever you go. Like, you know, you can be in your house, you can go in a different room, you can leave the house, you can move to another country. So you have mastery to move out of an experience you have. And this is what we've been starting to train, to put your attention at will on something different than that which is giving you pain. And we will be doing this way more in the power modules. I think you will have a lot of fun with it. It's really my greatest expertise. And it is very Western. It is very, very useful for success in the world, what we consider success, so that you can at will move through this universe, but not from ego, through the power that the universe is. So it is that freedom so that you don't have to stay stuck in what you're experiencing. You don't have to believe it. You just know it's not really important. In fact, the less you make yourself important, the better. It doesn't matter what has happened in your life or what has not happened in your life. This making ourselves so important causes the I am. And the I am lives in the mind. We have to go prior to the I am. Some people talk about I am presence as the most important thing to achieve. I would say that's just I am is I am. It's just still a focal point. You're not even the I am. That's the part that's within you as a soul that is still separate from the ocean of existence. And it's beautiful because you're waking up to being a soul. And you're not totally stuck in ego, completely unconscious, not even know that you're just automatically living, you know, not even having a clue. You can see it in some people, you know. They can see it in their eyes. They're just not there. Well, nobody here, everybody here in this course is already awake to the I am presence. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You want to go past it. You want to know that you are every I am presence. You're all at once. So this is where peace really comes in. So with that said, I'm going to start taking calls now, and there is some hands raised, and I know that I wanted to definitely talk to Linda, and I don't see you, Linda. Linda with a Y. And if she pops up, I will recognize it was in Massachusetts, I think. Anyway, so I'm going to start with Winnie. So I'll unmute you, Winnie. Hi there. How are you?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Very blurry, a little muffled. Can you come closer, make it more clear? Thank you.
Is it better now?
It's better, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I wasn't able to attend this morning's call, and I have to go to class. And so I was really listening to that. And I definitely, I would like to check into, I feel like I'm suffering because I have physical pain in me, on my body. So is that a sign of suffering as well?
Suffering is, pain in the body is an experience. Suffering is you as consciousness.
Right.
So, okay, these are different things. There are people who have a lot of pain in the body, but they're not suffering. If you are having an issue with it and you push and pull, you have an aversion or an attraction, you're suffering. Whatever it is, it's pain in the body, pain outside. So I always say, first be warmly okay, accept it is what it is. There's pain in the knees or in the body. You start with that. Can you do that right now?
Yes.
Completely accepting it, really warmly resting in that acceptance that there's pain, knowing in the study that things come and go all the time. That's the nature of life. Pain and pleasure will alternate. This will always be in duality. This will always be like that. It is you as consciousness that has to wake up out of that. And then you have mastery so that you can navigate and work with that. So is there no suffering left right now inside you?
I feel my body is more in comfort now.
It's more comfortable?
Yep. It's more comfortable now.
Okay. Well, sometimes, and we don't even, that's not even our goal, but it's a side effect. You see, that's beautiful you're saying that. When we actually stop fretting about something and we're warmly okay with it and we come into a peaceful place as consciousness, then actually, funny thing is, because the body is part of consciousness, right? So it's all the same thing. Then sometimes there's an expansion going on in the body, and at times actually will really affect the pain to a change, or there's more peacefulness. And And if you can hang in with absolute acceptance, sooner or later the pain will go away most of the time. Everything changes, you understand? But
yes.
What I can add to that is, and I always repeat that, once you are not suffering anymore as consciousness, you have clarity. And in that clarity, there's an intuition, there's an inner arising of what to do or not to do. You might get a hint or a direction of what would be important to do for your knees right now or your body. Is this making sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
I the pain came out as I have a lot of anxiety lately because I had to move flat.
Okay, let me stop you right away. Let me stop you right here. I want to help you. The anxiety didn't come out because the anxiety was already there.
Okay.
And then things happen in life, and then we project the anxiety on that, and then we blame. This is what I'm saying. This is the projection mechanism. Everything you're feeling, it has already been there inside of you. It starts to sprout at a certain moment in life. And then we use what's outside of us to blame and project that experience onto. And this is the separation that we play out. Do you understand, Winnie?
Yes.
Okay, for a moment, all you have to do is to free yourself to accept that, oh, wow, there's some anxiety arising. It's just karma. It was already in you. And something else will arise a month from now. And something else will come up a year from now. And that's certain. Just know that everything will come up, good stuff and bad stuff. This is certain. This is why you have an embodiment. You just have to see it and just say, ah, okay, we're here in the heart module. Ah, okay, I'm unconditionally open to that. I don't have to push and pull. It's here and it's okay. How does that feel if you're just okay with the anxiety?
It feels smooth,
more peaceful. Mhm. Okay. And then you, and that's the feeling, right? So the anxiety seems to change, but how are you doing, Winnie? Because you are you. You are not your anxiety. How are you? How is Winnie?
I'm not sure. yes. So
don't look. Don't look. Don't look. You're looking into your mind.
Okay.
Stay more here, present. Don't climb into your mind to find out who you are. It's like looking in the mirror constantly. Just you directly. Notice that what you are already right now, how that's not the anxiety. It's not all the words that are moving through your head, and just you. And it's hard to see, right? Because you're trying to look at it, but you can't see it.
Yeah.
Okay. How does that feel right now?
I'm still not getting this part of it.
You said you're getting part of it?
No, I'm not. I'm not getting it. So I'm asking myself, how am I now? And I feel a knot in my stomach. But I'm still feeling, my mind's still observing, trying to come up with something to describe that. So I'm not exactly know where, how am I in a way, as if I'm still trying to come up with something to describe it.
Right. Stop trying. Just don't try at all. Do nothing. Just be here. Is that comfortable to just be here?
There's there's a part of me feel like there's a frustration coming up, but there's another part of me receiving some light coming in. So that was a very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Nice, yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. Beautiful. So you're noticing, you're teeter-tottering between being in your mind and you're noticing the real you. The real you, there's light. It feels good, right? And then there's the one, and you're teeter-tottering back and forth. That's okay. That's okay. It's just something you're experiencing right now because you are conditioned into being in your mind. And, you know, don't be frustrated, or if you're frustrated, and enjoy being frustrated. That's okay, too. And know that it will change. It will change sooner or later. Just trust that, you know, you're like a cloth that we dye. Like, you know, to think of a bucket of color, and you're like a cloth, and you put a nice, beautiful yellow dye, and then you put it in, and then you put it again, and it keeps saturating the color. You know, like these textiles, they get thicker and richer, the color. Sooner or later, is more as we sit together and speak.
Yep.
Something happens. There's a coloring takes place, you know, or maybe an uncoloring. In yoga, we would say we're uncoloring the mind, but something happens. And so just enjoy being on the call and just don't try to figure out what we even talked about.
Okay.
Okay? Okay, okay. Let's leave it at that. Okay, great, Winnie. Yeah,
thank
you. Okay, bye. Yeah. Okay, and... this is Katya, I think. Yes, hello.
Hello. Good morning, Annette, and everyone.
Good morning.
Well, it's actually the second half of the day anyway. So I really wanted to connect, and I also have a quick question.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so
what's your question?
With the question.
Sure.
So
yes.
I think I wrote on Facebook at some point that every time I meditate, I have my body that constantly wants to move, and you told me that's my unconscious. So I'm trying to be okay with it and just accept it. And as you said, there is no rush to get to anywhere, and it's all sort of unlimited or infinity. So I just wanted to check if maybe there is a mantra I can do to help to go through it, or is it
tell
just
me,
the way it is?
Well, tell me, because there's different movements. There's kriyas, right, the way Shelley describes it, and then there is just this fidgetiness, this kind of like that comes from the mind, from the ego that wants to, it's not the shakti, it's actually the mind that's resisting. And I think that's what you're talking
that's
about.
The one.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's the control mechanism. It's in your nature. There's a strong force to control.
Yes,
and
I have noticed that a lot.
Yeah.
Last week that I was trying to control everything.
Yes, exactly. And that's good because it gives you a certain ability to see things and to be very present. So your challenge is, have you done squares on control and not in control, be in control, etc., fear to control, out of control and all that?
I've done some, but not as many. Maybe I should do some more.
Yeah, you want to actually, again, for everybody, if you have an issue that you don't, you know is you're getting stuck on, just keep processing it, the life out of it, like months, and just don't give up. You know that it has to, at some point, you're going to get that last little filament layer off.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, let me see here. Control is paired with fear, right? And
mm-hmm.
when there's a power, when we don't control, when there's a natural power within you, and often that power wants to kind of move in a very strong way, but we have these ideas how life has to be, and sometimes that kind of holding it all together or managing it very well, it kind of causes sort of a pressure cooker. So is there
mm-hmm.
something in your life also that you feel like you need to kind of open up a bit and do a little differently? Is there some of that happening?
Hmm. Is it happening right now? Or is it something that should be happening?
I'm asking the question, not direct. I'm talking about the energy. I'll ask the question. Is an energy moving through you that you feel, you, that wants to kind of change something around a little bit? It could be little, but it could make a big dramatic effect on how you give it. Gives you more freedom in your power.
Well, there are a few things I want to change. Once I want to, you know, one of them, for example, today I was thinking about clearing the whole basement and getting rid of the stuff. Another thing, I was like, well, I love my work, but maybe I can do something else. So I don't know. There is always thoughts coming up.
Good. Okay. So that's always something coming up. Yeah, because you have a lot of energy. That's good. Why don't you start with the basement, cleaning that up? It's already part of what we're going to do in the next module. And so you can do that. And have you done some kind of just general exercise, jumping up and down, you know, running on a spot or something before you sit down and meditate, just kind of get your nerves cleared?
No. I usually just do the breathing. And I know Kabbalistic breathing helps. But it just keeps me quiet for like 10, 15 minutes. And after that, that's it. It sort of wears out. And then my body is like, okay, what do I do next?
Okay. It comes after 10 to 15 minutes. Okay. Well, that's interesting because that tells me you're actually just moving through another barrier of ego. So what I want you to do is to then just keep sitting through it and don't worry. Don't expect then that everything is perfect. If you need to move a bit, then do that, but just stay focused in the meditation.
Okay. Okay, I'll try to do that.
Okay, let's just connect here for a moment. And have fun with it. I think I've repeated that before. right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I'm missing that part to have fun with it.
More fun, please.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for
checking. Thank you. Okay,
thank bye. You. Okay. This is a no name, no nothing. It's 44208.
Hello?
Yes. Who is that?
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, Aratima. This is Anya.
Anya. Oh, hi there. Nice talking to you. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm fine. Thank you. After listening to yesterday's replay, your conversation with B has triggered something in me that I realize how much judgment I'm struggling with. It almost felt like I have a cork in my heart that doesn't allow the energy to flow. And I struggle so much with judgment. Like, I judge everything, everyone, my life, myself, the worst. You know, I judge God. It's like on the subconscious level. It just seems, it's almost like, I saw the wrongness of me, like as if there's something wrong with me, with my design or something.
I don't feel that about you. No, I don't feel that at all about you at all.
No, but that's the self-judge. You know, I'm in so much resistance with life, with everything, everyone. I even judge my dog.
because once you open up, you're so sensitive, you're going to feel so swept away by love that's what keeps you safe. You know, you put up all those walls. Right? Because it could love. You want to really merge, right? You're a very passionate person, aren't you?
Yes. And, you know, yes, like you said on the call, you gave us the permission not to care that much for other. It was so freeing. It was lovely. But, you know.
Yes, that's good. It's good. Yeah, don't care. And if you don't like your dog, then okay, then just don't like him. In fact, have fun with it. I mean, you can play around with it, for a day or so. You're okay. Don't like anybody. It's just like, I don't like them. I remember doing that. I just play I don't know what you call it in English, like a child that's sort of like, you know, puts his kind of arms together. It's like, I don't like you. And I would say that to my partner. Yeah. I don't like you today. It's like, why? I don't know. I just don't like you. Okay.
No, I do that. But what I mean, it's like I've this conversation would be, it's kind of, I discovered this subconscious judgment. I thought I'm not that bad with judgment, but this conversations reminded me, put a light on something in my deep psyche that I do judge myself, people, everything.
Yeah, and so you're aware of it. You can feel where it is, right? Bring your attention to it. It's one mechanism inside of you. Can you feel that?
Yeah, it's like in my heart.
Just be with it for a moment. And anybody else on the call that has that judging, because that's the human condition, right? Because it helps the mind to separate the objects. It's very important, but it shouldn't be in the heart itself, like as who you are. So we're just noticing now that we're in oneness and not in separation. That's really what it is. And there's a lot of pressure energetically from this shift in the planet to put more pressure on this, dissolving this judgment, and then we're just holding on for dear life because we think, oh my God, am I going to die after that? What if there's nothing to judge? What are you going to do then with your life, Anya? There's nothing to do, right?
Yeah.
Is that, yeah, can you feel that? Then what? Uh-huh, there you go. Now you have some opening in the solar plexus, yeah. Here you go, let's just unravel that. Yeah. Starting to feel different in the heart?
Yeah, something is moving. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's good. And you having an experience that there was this judgment, and now you have an experience that something is moving. All of this is happening in the mind. Mm-hmm. Everything you can talk about is in the mind, and everything comes and goes. And it has nothing to do with who you are. All we're doing is to point to the fact. Do not confuse yourself with the experiences that you're having, because then you suffer, right? Like Bile thinks that her heart is closed, you think your heart is closed, and then we're noticing it's an experience, right? You can talk about it.
Yes.
Right?
Go on, please.
Yeah, so it is definitely uncomfortable when we are confused and attached to the experience of the open heart, but it's all happening inside the experiencer, which is mind. This is very important because we're doing two things at the same time. We're acknowledging the attachment, so we're playing along with it. But the reset that I mentioned yesterday is to reset over and over again that all of the things you experience is not who you are. So it's not that important. So you don't even have to care about others. You don't even have to care about how you feel.
Okay.
When you do when you do that, you don't even care if your heart is closed, the heart is open. If you really honestly not care about it, what remains? What is left? What is left
just
for
being.
That? Yeah, just being. Yeah. And now we're a totally different reality. Can you sense it?
Yes.
And this was always here and will always be in its eternity. So beautiful, mm-hmm. Anya, beautiful. Now, this is important to know, always waking up to that, which is your eternity. And inside it, and then there is the world of experience, and we still attend to that, of course. We will still make sure that we are not judging and blaming and all these things, but first remember that you are eternity. You have to know that in your, as experience, not as an item in the mind. It can become another item in the mind. Very nice. I like it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We do.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Very nice. Okay. This is in Glen Rock, 307. Hello. Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Who is that again? Is that Joanne? No.
This is Antonia.
Antonia. Yeah, that's right. I just don't know where Glenrock is, so this is always, this, I have to look that up on the map.
Glenrock is in Wyoming.
Okay, yeah, I've never been there, so it's kind of vague for me.
Well, so close to Canada.
It is, close, isn't it? Canada. It's right underneath the border. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, this is Montana and then Wyoming.
Okay, that's right next to it. Okay, so, good.
Yeah, so we're neighbors.
Yeah.
Yes. I just wanted to connect with you today.
Mm. Okay.
I do.
Did you feel that or experience the last caller, that experience of just freedom?
Last week is when I experienced all that, the energy gone from my legs.
Mm.
And then after that, I got better on Sunday, a week ago. But then I was very sad the whole week, mm-hmm. like I was grieving something, somebody, I don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been like that. I tried to meditate. My meditation was going beautiful. Mm-hmm. I can feel the light expanding.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of the sound, when I close my eyes now, it's just dark.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just empty.
Mm-hmm.
But I can feel the energy going from the root chakra all the way up to my crown, but I don't see the light.
Yes, because you see dark light. There's dark light and there's bright light, and it's just light. So both are good. Yeah. And one we sometimes call emptiness and the other fullness, but it's just, so it's nice, you know, because even everything you experience in your meditation is an experience.
Okay.
And that will change. You can never have the same experience. That's the rule of life. It's an always in flux. The meditation will always change. And of course, when we do spiritual practice, the quality of the experience becomes, it's almost like a ladder. It becomes nicer and nicer. And there are modifications or sub-modifications of this bliss and niceness or the light. But it's kind of keeps getting more qualitative, nicer. But it will still never be just one experience.
Okay. Okay.
Mm. So you're doing good.
Am I doing good?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it sounds to me like you're doing good. You're happy. You can always check for yourself. Are you laughing?
I am happy, but I was like, I not doing something right because the light go away. I wanted to see the bright light, how it was expanding from my core, and I can feel it going out through my hands.
I know you.
And then I had that shift where I had no energy and my legs had no energy, and then things change.
Yeah, well, that's what I just said. You are looking for an experience that you are trapping yourself.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
You got attached to the nice states. That's
yes.
That's the downfall of every spiritual advanced seeker. They is all just like, oh my God, you get so attached to all these. You know, at the end, I'll just say this for everybody. At the end, you have to let go of the best and nicest and most supreme state, and you have to put that down to the altar of eternity. And you have to say, I don't want that either. Thank you. You have to give that up as well.
Okay.
Always new, fresh, new, empty, empty. You show up, nothing. You're a nobody. You show up as a nobody. You leave as a nobody. This is what you are. You are eternity. Because a nobody is to the mind. But when you're the nobody to the mind, you are everything in that moment. You are have the potential to open yourself up or to experience or to partake in all of existence because you are that. Okay?
Okay. Well, I will stay with whatever it is.
That's it.
It'll be okay.
Okay. That's right. Okay. Thank you, Antonia.
Thank
okay.
You.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye. Yeah. It's normal. It always happens. Okay. Kasri in... Hi, Kasri.
Hi, Ratima.
Hi.
Hi. Hopefully I won't cry today.
Why? Why?
Seems like every time I call, I speak on a call, I end up crying. Oh, gosh. I'm just been loving this heart space. I did get a little out of it now. Now that I have to speak, I guess I do get nervous.
Just okay. Take your time. Just slow down a little bit and just make yourself and your space more important than serving the idea and the world around you. So just again, and you just, and if it helps, you just focus on the emptiness within me or the silence, and maybe it helps you to trigger that again. Ah, okay, that's what it was. Just be your own space. There you go. Yeah, and then we'll wait. I want you to learn, and everybody, I want you to find your own rhythm and power. Stand in yourself and speak when you're ready. Speak what comes out of you, and don't try to serve anybody. Don't even try to please me. I don't want to be pleased. I want you to be real. So whatever comes from you right now will be just perfect. Just see what arises.
Wow, it's beautiful. I have confusion about love and the heart. And
stay in your presence. Don't let the emotions carry away like a wave, okay? Strong. Stay present and notice the feelings and find the words. I know this is kind of, you're doing good, but this is like juggling it all at the same time. You can do this.
Oh, it's hard. Okay.
It's powerful. Why don't we use a different word? Heart is just such a bad word. It's a powerful moment. There's so much power right now, and you have to stay strong. The wind is not going to, you know, blow you away, right? So what is the issue? What is it that where the confusion is? Zoom right in. Where are you confused? Where there's suffering about love, and what is that? You talk about relationships with men or people.
Yeah, all of that. But I would love to finally be clear of him and thoughts of him, and I'm still have processing, but I don't even know if I want to go there right now. I'm confused more about how when we had our private session in August, you had told me that
that was then, right? Is it still applicable today? Or is it the memory right now?
It's the memory. And I guess possibly I wonder if it's still true. You said you didn't feel my heart.
Okay. Well, take a deep breath. Let's notice what's happening here. I said earlier to a caller, don't take yourself so seriously. You're trying to define yourself right now as a good person, as somebody that's perfect in some way, that kind of matches an idea that how Kasri should be. Can you see that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, this, that's where the suffering is with him, because he doesn't love me anymore, so there's something wrong with me. So how do I fix myself so I can be perfect again and lovable again? So, you know, yeah. It's all connected, isn't it?
Yeah, but do you really want to be with him again? I thought he's with another woman.
No. Well, yeah. No, I don't want to be with him, but I don't know why he's closed his heart and why we're not friends.
Okay, well, if he doesn't want to be friends, then accept it. Move on. It doesn't mean anything about you, you see? Life is way different than we as humans interpret life. It's just, let's say, I'm going to give you different interpretations. Your planets matched at some point, and then they continued, and your karmas are finished. And you can't force it. It's like trying to put Pluto in a different orbit. It's just the way it is. It means nothing about you. It doesn't describe anything about you. The world you're experiencing shouldn't be used as a description of who you are. You see how you're borrowing the events and reactions of people to create an image of yourself. This is only causing suffering.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yeah, don't do that. It doesn't matter at all. If I say, you know, Kazi, you have purple eyes, or I don't know, whatever, and I'm totally convinced of that, then it's not your job to convince me that that's not true. You just like, you just let me think that you have purple eyes. I mean, it's not your business, really. You just go on with being you. And so there's all these things. People's perception is based on their karma, their lens. And it has nothing to do with who you are. Nothing. So he has his own karmas and perceptions, and we might have a curiosity about it and think, oh, interesting. Interesting how this person sees me. But it's a waste of energy and time, right? Because it doesn't add anything to you enjoying your life or being, fully expressing who you are in this life. It doesn't add to it at all. It just takes away energy and time. It's a waste. So you are using this person, this man, to keep inflicting upon you that you are unlovable. So this is really your problem. And you somehow, I'll just put it plainly, there is a tendency in us humans, and I was like that too, to inflict suffering upon us. We have to see this. This is a habit, and this needs to stop. And if we can stop it by first warmly accepting that we're doing that, we're helpless to it. It's this confusion through the separation that we experience, that we have this habit. But it's okay, so we can open our heart to it and just say, oh, there I go again, you know? And then you just don't take yourself so seriously and just move on with life. And you do this over and over again. And at some point it gets boring to do that, and you found something else to do with your life. Is this helping?
Okay. So, I said I didn't want to talk about him. Of course I did. So that helped that. But what about my closed heart? What does that mean? And is my heart still closed?
Well, that we talked about a long time ago. Was it in August? My God, it seems like a year ago. yes. Is that the heart is closed when you're in judgment. When you're in judgment, you're looking for things, and you're looking for solutions. You want this, you want that, you want that. That comes from ego. And when an ego is active, the heart is closed. It's very simple. And when you are in acceptance and you are like a radio receiving the currents of the universe, and you're receiving, you have to be open like a vessel. Like, you know, you're receiving the vibrations, the currents, then the heart is open. You are becoming surrendered to a greater wisdom, a greater expression, like how life wants to express through you. We make ourselves available. So it's like, you know, when you look at the body of a human being, I mean, we have the mouth and then the rectum. We're actually hollow all the way through. That's all. All we do is we eat. We eat things in order to actually cause this body that's like a donut all around it. And the same thing happens energetically. We just eat energy and move it through. This is why there's nobody there. We don't exist. We're completely absent. There is just something that seems to be a digest. We're like an amoeba, you know. We're just, there's some kind of metabolism going on. And there's this thing that says, I'm having an experience, but it's made up. And when we drop that and we're just allowing life to happen, then it becomes happy, and then suffering stops. It's kind of strange, isn't it?
It is. It's strange. And but then how do you function through life if you just let life happen? Like, how do we make sure that we get up and go do a job if we're just letting life happen and make sure the bills get paid? And
yeah, that's I know this is a very common question. I mean, how do you think I do it? Just tell me, how do I do this?
I wish I knew. somehow you're able to do both. You're doing both at the same time, maybe.
That's right. Exactly. When you wake up, you actually don't lose anything, you only gain. So everything that's useful will remain, and anything that's not useful, which is usually these egoic crazy patterns, they go away. But you become more efficient. I would always share this story that when I had a job, 2000 to early 2004, I was three and a half years something, and I wanted to work part time too, because I would be so efficient. I got everything done so fast in 30 hours, where my coworkers need 50 to 60 hours to do the same, and I was still bored. And of course, my boss said, you know, to the others, like, why is she getting all this done? Why are you so lazy, right? But, you know, because you just do things. There's no waste of time. You call the people that you need to call at the right moment. You're so in sync. There is no waste of time, no bumps in the road. Everything is clear. You just know what to do, and it happens through you, and it's quite joyful. You're like an eagle that's just gliding in the wind. You don't have to flap your wings all the time. You just enjoy the gliding. But that's how life happens. So you don't have to worry about it. But what is important is that the fear that says, oh my God, how am I going to like get life done? The fear is the resistance that's inside the mind. And that is the one that's the demon at the gate. You must not listen to it, because fear cannot be served. You cannot serve fear and say, okay, dear fear, I'm listening to you. You're saying, oh my God, how will this work? I will listen to you. I will definitely not become enlightened because it's not going to work out. So you cannot listen to that. That's a false thought. Mm-hmm. You have to be like a warrior and have courage, and you just go like the knight that goes into the cave to slay the dragon, to free the, you know, the princess. You go in there anyway, although everybody says the dragon will kill you, but then you have to go in there anyway, because you have to liberate the soul, right, which is, you know, presented as the princess in these fairy tales. You have to go, you have to have courage. Cur is French, open your heart, have courage, and do what you know is true, and know that you don't have to what do you say that in English? You don't have to explain it to anybody. You don't have to justify it to anyone. Not to anyone at all. There's nobody that has authority over you. You have free will. So if you decide to do something, you make your own mistakes. And if it didn't go well, you try differently. And then you go through life like that. And you empower yourself. Mm. We're kind of sliding a little bit into the power modules. But this is the way it works.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. That's wonderful. Thank you for that. And I'm looking forward to the power module. I think I'm going to really benefit from that. And just lastly, you recently said, and I said I would ask on the call, you said that you thought the reason why I found life so hard is because I'm open to love, and for me to see it as a power, not as a weakness. So...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What does
yes.
that mean?
What does that mean? Yeah. When you are, why is that a power? It's a very good question. Is that when you have an open heart, nobody can hurt you, because there's nothing, there's no sense of I am something, and somebody can come along and say, no, you're not, and that will hurt you because there's a conflict. When you don't care what you are, and all you do is you love, you just love your enemy as much as you love your friends. You are invulnerable. Nobody can conquer you, because your love will conquer them. It engulfs them. They just move right through your heart, and your heart becomes larger. It's
so
actually...
up until now, it's been a weakness for me because I didn't know how to do that.
Yes, because you're emotionally attached, you see. You're not... If you really open your heart, you might open your heart at times, but then when something happens, you actually... don't let it go through all the way into the heart. You let it go into the emotional body. You see, the emotional body has nothing to do with the heart. So it goes into the emotional body, and that's where all the drama is. I'm talking about the heart as the state of oneness, is the diamond mind of existence that knows that all things are equal and all is one. If all is one, then there can't be any hurt. There can't be not. There can be. So this is where the power is. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
Let people hurt you. Open your heart anyway. Feel it deeply. There will be, I call it the ring of tears, and that might be a term that I picked up somewhere. I don't remember where it came from. There's a ring of tears. When your heart begins to open, you go through a ring of tears where you feel this incredible pain in the heart, such deep pain. I remember feeling the pain of the world. I would sit on my couch, I think it was in 2005 or something, or earlier than that, 2003 or something. And I remember feeling excruciating pain, but just I was seeing and noticing, and I just was crying and feeling this. And I knew, I felt how my heart was just releasing and opening by moving through this programming, you know, the existence of pain that's there. And that is just something that we have to go through. This is why very few people really open their hearts, because it's uncomfortable. This is what I talked about in the MP3s. But don't fear. Don't fear the pain. Doesn't matter if there's a real crying that is neutral and opening, and there is a self-indulgent crying. Know the difference. If it's self-indulgence, all about this I that doesn't want to feel something and poor me and all this, that's not good. That's going to just destroy your blood, really. In Ayurveda, they say it's not good for the blood. But essentially, you want to really allow yourself to be vulnerable, to let it through, to let yourself be touched. Touched and go deeper than the feelings, deep into that experience of the heart. Just explore it and then tell me, you know, just if there's no other manual for it as much as I can describe these particular steps. And then just explore and know that nothing can happen to you. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you so much.
Okay, thanks, Kazi. Thanks, bye. Yeah. So we have somebody in New York City at 845. Hello, New York City.
Hello.
Hi. Who's that?
It's Danielle.
Danielle, hey. Oh, yeah, right. You're into New York City. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. I wanted to connect, but I just got a question that was brought up when you were speaking to Kazri.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this. Not caring. We're not caring about how we feel or our thoughts, kind of just and trying to have our mind rest in the stillness. But then there was also brought up the feelings fully.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of conflict for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's say I would touch your arm, right? And you're mm-hmm. feel and you don't care if it's whatever form it is. You're not telling me, oh, it should be, like, let's say you get a massage. It should be soft, medium, or strong, you know, massage. You just don't care about it. It doesn't matter. You have no opinion on it. Then you have a presence and awareness to be really aware of what's happening with the skin and with your arm, right? You're noticing what's happening there, right? You can be really present with it. Is it correct?
Yes.
Good. So you can see that being totally present and really feeling what's happening with your skin, or feeling what's happening inside the heart. Oops. Okay. I'm going to. This here must have pushed some buttons there. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Try not to push the buttons because it squeaks. So you can actually do both, right? You don't have to care. Caring means you want something to be a certain way. There's a judgment in there. Can you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's a homeless person on the street and we care about that person. Yeah, that means that we have a judgment that there shouldn't be homeless, the poor guy, blah, blah, blah. But what if we're just there and being present with them, really being at one with them? Then you really know the other and we're experiencing a sense of union. That's, let's call it true caring, but it's not even caring anymore. It's just being. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, good. I'll let you go then. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, and I think this is now Linda. Hi, Linda. Is that you? Hi.
Hello?
Hi, Linda. Is that you?
Yes, I guess it must be me.
Yes.
Aratana,
right.
Hi.
Yes. Hi there. In Nantucket, exactly.
Yes. Thank you so much for answering my question yesterday. I'm having a hard time going back there after.
That's good. It's all gone.
Interesting calls. I did have a question about what you were saying yesterday, but also what Kasri and Danielle were talking about caring. A big thing for me is I reached a point where I feel like I don't know anything anymore, and I don't know what to even say to my son. I feel like I don't even know how to answer his questions anymore, and that what I have said to him in the past is so not the truth, you know, like even about caring. I taught him to care about other people and be concerned, and now I see it's almost like I set him off on the wrong path, and it has to all be undone.
No, nothing has to be undone, because you were authentic at the time. That's what was real to you, and it was perfect. And your job is to just imprint him somehow. I'll talk more about imprinting, you know, on the next call, but it has something to do that you need to give him a framework. You need the spirit that your son is. It needs a framework that it can function through, and that's your job to give it to them. What shape it has is not your concern. It doesn't really matter. No judgment. Now that you are changed, now that you're changing, you're going to have a new truth for yourself. And maybe you're in transition and maybe things aren't clear, and then you just say, you know, I don't really know. And you be present with him. Be both in wonder and curiosity. I mean, what's not greater than that? Because do we really have the answers of this world? We don't. I mean, all he really wants is you. I'll tell you what he wants. He wants you to be authentic, truly you. And that's a state of love you can be for yourself. And that's what he will model and match himself to. And that's all he needs. He will keep inside of him a feeling, a sense of who you are. And not so much all the things on the surface. That's the stuff that, you know, you might have to throw out, because as he develops, he is his own person. He might actually have to find different ways of looking at the world. Maybe he's different from you. Maybe he's very similar. I don't know your son. But, you know, it's you're just giving him an imprint, and whatever it is, it's fine.
I wanted to give him a good imprint.
Well, you don't know what's a good one.
No.
You don't know what's a good imprint.
Right, right. Well, you just said, I go blank when I know I'm on the calls like this. Something you just said about, being authentic and saying I don't know. I have said that to him. I've started to say that I just don't know anymore. And that disturbs him more, because I think he looks to me to have some sort of stability and know the answers.
Saying, how old is he?
I don't know. Life is a mystery. He's 11. I said, life is a mystery. And he just has so many questions about how everything is.
Well, you can see he has obviously a need to define himself mentally, and I don't think that's really good, because he needs to learn to be. The whole world is in a state of flux, and so I think you do him a better service to let him feel a little bit of uncertainty, and you hold your center and let him act that out. It's a little tantrum he has, and I think you serve him in that way better. Just remain authentic. That's very important, you know. Be real. Then he can become real. Then it's not so scary for him. So he'll have a cleanse. He's also in pre-puberty, right? So his hormones are coming in. He's a boy. He wants to grasp onto the old structure of what it means to be a man. And in my experience, the men and the boys have a really hard time right now, because their structure, their success structure has gone. And, you know, it's gone. And it's not very successful.
Yeah.
We've seen what happened to the planet. So, you know.
He's not really in alignment with all that. He's got,
Yes, the reaction.
He's a lot more, he's very emotional, and he's not tapped into that whole male structure. Well, the typical.
That's good. Well, then I'll say this. This is something for the men's job is to open the heart, and women's job to be power. That's how the universe is designed. So your son has obviously tendency already to open his heart, and in that sense, yeah. So in that sense, he is looking for you as the power, but your power is also not knowing and being strong in that not knowing. So you can still display strength in not knowing, being okay with it. That's all he wants. He wants to feel your power so that he can open his heart.
Got it. Yes.
Yeah.
I see.
Okay.
I see.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, I'm happy to see the new men in this world.
Yes, me too. And just very quickly on what you were saying yesterday, if I can remember, when you were talking about feeling about being very clean when you are connecting, is it the same when you're putting your attention on masters, and say if you're in a time of when you're struggling with something or you're suffering, and as humans at times we've tended to look to, you know, masters or whatever, or for assistance or to focus on in a time of when things seem darker. Is that, do we have to be in a certain, in a better state, or it doesn't matter?
It's how you do it. It's not, okay, more like how you do it. If you focus on a master, what you do is you want to be open and receive. It's like an open, curious, like no judgment. You're just like, you know, it's like you're looking for your keys. You don't know where they are. So you open your eyes to look, where are the keys? And so then your attention, you know, is looking for that doorway in a master that reminds you again of, that's the peace, because the master carries the emptiness, the peace, the light. And then you're looking for that, and it's not you are needily grasping with your astral body and sucking the master dry. That's not the point.
Right.
You know, you're actually just saying, you're trying to remind yourself, because it's, again, remember, the master outside is your own self. You just have forgotten how to find it inside of yourself. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
Is this helping? Yeah.
Yes.
Good.
Exactly.
Great. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay. You're welcome. Thanks, Linda. Bye. Bye. Much love.
Bye-bye.
Okay. So we have somebody is on anonymous, probably a web link. Hello. Can you hear me? Hello. Hello. Anybody who is on a web link, I think, can just maybe say hello. Because I don't have any number, nothing. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello. Who's that?
Angela.
Hello. Angela, okay.
Yes.
Hey. Yes. Hi, Angela. Hi. You just want to connect, or do you have a question?
No, I just wanted to connect. I was falling asleep.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Okay, that's good. Beautiful. You're pretty happy?
Yeah.
No. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your space. Thank you. Okay, I'll let you go now, Angela.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. We have lots of, it's already 1:49, so we have 5 callers left here, so maybe we'll keep it a little shorter. This is in Silverdale, Washington, 360. Hello? Hi.
Hi.
Who's that?
It's Vicky.
Vicky, hi there. I haven't talked to you in a while. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm very pleased to connect with you today. We haven't talked in a very long time, it seems like.
Yes, right. Yes, I know. You've been so busy.
I really don't have any questions. I just wanted a chance to say hi and talk a little bit about what I'm going through right now. I'm got lots of questions coming up, and I'm, you know, looking for the answers inside me, and I'm still dealing with the grief of losing this farm and all the animals, and yet at the same time the joy of moving back home to my old farm, which I do miss quite a bit, so I'm very pleased to be going back there. And just, you know, kind of bebopping along, as they say, and I feel, I have felt in the past couple of months that I'm not progressing as fast as I should, but then there's that word should, and then I go back and I say, you know what, I'm doing everything perfectly for me at this time, and mm-hmm. and this is my path, and then I feel very peaceful. And then the other thing that is happening to me, and it is just a wave of these energies that are still coming in and just kind of floor me. It's not a bad thing. It's wonderful. It just it feels like, I don't know, something just really beautiful and joyous, and it just kind of gives me a little bit of a lightheaded wooziness and then slowly drifts away, and then a little while later I might find another one, or I'll have a morning full of them, one right after the other, and then I'll get out and do things and I won't notice them anymore, and it's just, you know, it's a nice journey, and thank you for being there for me.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome. Well, that's good. Yes, if you're at peace, that's wonderful. Yeah, because we can be fully immersed in the world, and the moment you feel that you're suffering, you deal with it, and if you want to speed it up more, then you increase your practice, and you just kind of go a little bit faster, but that's exactly like you said, it's all up to you. Yeah.
Yeah, I've recently been doing 30-minute or more sessions, so that's something I'm increasing now. I still have to work on the every day in the morning and night, and but I'm getting there.
Okay, good. All right. Well, thanks for connecting, and good luck with all the rest of it, you know, and enjoy what you're doing.
Thank you. Thanks for all these calls. They're really terrific. I love to listen to them again and again and again.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I haven't even listened to them, but I'm sure there's a lot of stuff we're going through. So that's great. Thanks for letting me know. Thanks, Vicky. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, it must be hours and hours to catch up on here. Now, this is in Calgary, Alberta. Who is this?
Hi, it's Winona.
Hi, Winona. Yes, hi there.
Following up from yesterday's call when you were talking about, we're back to the not caring. And it brought such a sense of relief because that I don't have to, you know, like I was getting all wrapped up in a lot of different things that are happening in the world. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Now, yeah, well, I'm finding it like in my personal relationship with my partner, though. How do I carry that into that? He's away a lot, so when he comes back, I'm noticing more and more the chaos in that when he's here, and he's having a pretty rough go right now, and I feel so, it's difficult for me to detach from that. I'm in that caring mode. I'm in the midst of it right now, so I'm feeling
well, you start with first of all, and that's the old programming of woman that we're, you see, it was kind of all switched around in the patriarchy. In the patriarchy, men had so-called power, which was not real power, it was human power. And, you know, men played God, you know, submissing the earth and all that. And women were supposed to support that and be submissive and caring so it all works out fine, you know? But we know that this was a program. And the natural state of a woman is power, it's energy, she's Shakti. And a man is holding space, he's just love. And he's just like the lions. I always call the new men the lion heart. There are powerful. I mean, they can tear you apart, but at the same time, they don't have to. They create a heart space in which women then, like the lion females, they go hunting. You know, so that's really what happens. So we women are leaders, and we are here to hold our power. It's like a stance of presence. And then the men can actually, go through their probably, I'm sure they're going to go through, you know, I don't know your particular partner, but the confusions and the lack of self-esteem and all this drama that's now going through, you know, for people that aren't holding on too tight anymore, those men that are just already kind of falling apart a little bit. And then you just let that happen. You don't have to mother them. That's not your job. And you're present, you know, present. And also an inner attitude, I think, helps. I would always remind myself that this person's having their own experience and I'm not going to take that away from them. If they need something from me, they'll come to me. And if they don't know how to ask properly, I'm not going to facilitate that. I'm going to let them struggle a little bit and find out how to properly approach me if they need some help. And of course, I'll extend a helping hand if that's done properly. But the moment you go towards somebody who's already confused, it's like a drowning swimmer. They'll just tear you down. They have to come to you. Maybe a partner needs something, you know. It says, you know what, can you give me a back rub? I'm just so exhausted. I'm just confused today. Or would you go for a walk with me? Or whatever, you know, and then you can do that or not if it's true for you. Is this helping?
Yeah, I think, yeah, it is helping quite a bit. So say with my partner, he came to me last night and asked for support, not defining it exactly what it is he needs, but so much so that, like, he's had my back because I went through a huge change in the last few years and he's been there for me. And I can feel he really needs me to be there for him. And I'm not sure, you know, like, it's sort of like...
He has to tell you. You ask him, look at him directly and say, how can I support you? Tell me. He has to find out first. You can't chew his food for him. He has to chew it up for himself. So he has to tell you.
Yeah. And he is. He's definitely going through the changes and his mind is fighting it, you know, big time, because he's a very intelligent person, but he's also a big heart, so he's definitely going through issues right now. That makes sense. So, yeah, so just keep asking him, I guess, until he can define it.
Yeah, and if you say, you know, if he doesn't know, just say, it looks like you're not quite sure yet how I can support you. Let me know when you're more clear. I trust that you will be very clear, that it's that you'll figure this out. You give him trust, you see, because that's how you empower him as well, that you trust that he'll be okay, that he'll figure it out. And then he has to hear that from within his own soul, you know, what it is that he needs. Yeah.
Yeah. So he can kind of raise himself out of it.
And your job is to be happy and live your life. And the more you live that happiness, the easier you, that's how you help everybody else be, you know, fall into that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Well, thank you for the perspective, because last few days.
Yeah, I understand. If you've been with a person for a while and life is changing and all this, and I understand. So, okay.
Yeah,
thanks for the question.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I've been doing squares on BS and without and all that too, but yeah, this feels so good. So thank you so much for that.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye. Yeah. Okay, and this is a 4971. Who's that? Maybe a cell phone or a phone. Hello, who's that?
Hello, Aratima. This is Ursula.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I hear that buzz in the back. That's from Germany.
Okay.
Okay. Do you have a question or a comment?
I have a comment. I just love so much what you're saying. It's really so helpful. So,
oh, that's good.
Really so many things.
Oh, that's good.
And otherwise, I just wanted to say hello and connect.
Oh, that's good. How is your meditations? Are going good? And are you steady with your practice, or you're happy about yourself?
Well, it changes pretty much. So in the beginning of the week, I had this workshop, and I noticed, oh my goodness, you know, the judgment thing, pretty a lot of what you covered today, and then it eased off, and was really like a very beautiful space, really, in the past days.
Oh, that's good.
I believe it's also a bit about groups somehow.
About what?
Groups seem to trigger
groups.
My ego more than people individually.
Is that so? In what, so that you're not good enough in the group, you're not doing the job right, or what?
I believe that's part of it, that I'm afraid of of not being good enough as a facilitator, and the other thing was that I had a co-facilitator who did some things that I didn't particularly like, that I thought were wrong, you know, the judgment thing. Yeah, I think that was the thing, and to sort of having to pay attention to so many people at once. If I have to do with one person, I can focus pretty well on them, and it's pretty easy, but I'm really like very much focused on the person. But with so many people, it gets difficult.
Yeah, I do you want to know why?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're very skilled. You have really good skills, and it helps you. You are relating as this person to this other person. But when there's a whole group, I think it's probably maybe astrology. Your astrology, or how you could, you know, how you were designed, is not. It's, you're not gifted in that sense. The ego is sometimes more gifted to deal with groups or not. So it's just an invitation for you to really drop out of the ego, to be a little bit more vulnerable, to fly without a net, to just be raw and naked, you know, as consciousness, and just show up in the group and then be you. And don't track yourself, don't self-reference, don't try to do a good job. Just know that all the preparation happened before you go into the workshop. Then you're just going to fly through it without judgment. And it sounds scary, doesn't it?
Yes, especially as it's on communication, and then I think I have to be a good example, you know.
That's all the problem. Yeah, that's all. Yeah, there you go. Don't want to mess up. Has to be this way, that way, and all this stuff. Well, you know what I did a long time ago? My first workshops, and my very first workshops were all about Reiki. I was teaching Reiki, and I got very quickly, I got sort of the knowledge I shouldn't even have a plan or layout. And I was very shy. Nobody believes this now that I'm talking to so many people, but my God, I was very shy. And then having to be in a group and then just not even knowing. So let's just myself come through, and I would three times at least every day, I would freeze. And I would just blush and freeze, and I didn't know what to say. And I just had courage. It mattered more to me to be letting myself be real than trying to please people. And I found that the people were forgiving, and essentially I was able to just let that be birthed who I was. So you're going to mess up a little. It's okay. Color outside the lines for a little bit here and there. Don't be so hard on yourself. And make a decision of what matters more. Give birth to who you are, to your power, and see what happens. You're going to have so much more fun with it.
Yes. And something resonated that you said previously, that about making yourself more important and not trying to please the others, and trying to be of service to the others, and to be more true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I thought the main thing was really that they got sort of a good workshop.
And that's what you thought? Yeah, but what do you know? You don't know what's a good workshop. You don't know. You only will know if, yeah. That's a, you will not. It's like what I said to Linda. You don't know what's good and not good. That's ego comparing, right? So you gotta. Yeah, the good workshop happens when you're real, when you're just Ursula, and when you are just allowing yourself to be outside of all judgment. That's a good workshop, no matter what that looks like. Even if it looks like chaos, but that's a good workshop.
Okay, that's why I said so much of what you said, just was so. Great, you know, for me, and it applies so much. It was like, okay. The answer.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks for laughing together. Okay, bye, Ursula.
Bye.
Yeah. Now we got in the UK, we have London, Florina. Hi.
Hello, Arasima.
Hello.
So lovely to talk to you. And it's my first
thanks for being
time.
Patient. You've been on the waiting in hands up for a long time.
I would wait forever. Arasmo, really just thank you so much for all the calls. Some of my questions have been answered. I had, I think it was with Anya, the heart thing, and as you did the process with her, I actually felt immense heat coming, going all through my body. Mm-hmm. My meditations seem to be a little bit up and down, and I'm really working at not judging how I do them and process it all. But the other thing that is, and I don't know whether you can answer this or not, when I do exercise, before I would sweat really easily, and now I don't. I can work out really hard, jump, run, pick weights, and I've just in the past probably week or so, maybe a bit more, have stopped sweating, and I.
That's okay. It's a different season. It's the fall anyway, so don't worry about it. It's not like summer. Seasons change. You also are going to change your frequency. Like the more blockages you clear out, the more emotional stuff. Sometimes there's less sweating going on. So don't, you know, in the beginning, and I appreciate that you're checking in for sure, because in the beginning when we started, everybody was much denser. And you want to really kind of get going, sweat. And a sweating also, like I said, it's like really meeting those little borders. Like we have this, we don't want to feel uncomfortable. Sweating sometimes is just very emotional. And I wanted people to move through that and become comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I know many people are doing Kapalbhati now. They do the pranayamas. You guys are doing great. So just, you know, continue, and observe if you're holding your core, your center, more and more easily. That's the measure. So not so much how much do I sweat, but measure more, am I in my center? And even if your meditations are all wonky, you remember, it's usually when you're going to move through your stuff, then just keep going, because just you're going to be meditating forever. You're going to love just sitting, you know, just closing your eyes and just kind of resetting yourself, and it'll be always feel a little different, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks, Marina. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Now we're going to go to Spain. Hi, Carlos. Juan Carlos.
Hey. Juan. Hi, Tina.
Hi. Well, we're flying all over the place here now. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you. I'm doing fine. I just wanted to say hello. I didn't yet talk to you all this time, and I really wanted to do that. And first of all, thank you for the beautiful, loving help you provide to us. And
thank you.
Yeah, and also to let you know that I had again another very interesting dream with all the group, and you were there, and you were sailing us in a boat around the coast of some, the sea was a little bit moving, a little bit hard. And I said, oh my God, how is she doing this? Because we couldn't, with the, how you call,
the steering? The steering, you mean, the rudder?
Yeah, the thing that blows the wind.
The sails?
Yeah, the sails, yes, right. Say, oh, she cannot see where we're going, heading to, and the shore was nearby. But then I knew, you knew where you were going, and it felt safe. And then I, because the boat was moving quite roughly for a moment, and I hold to the flagstaff, mast, is it the mast? Yeah. And then the mast was you. And I didn't realize it was you. And then I felt... And then you said to me, oh, no, you shouldn't hold to me like that, very seriously. And then, oh, sorry. But later on, I mean, just to make it short, the dream went a little bit further, and then we were somewhere in land, and you were sitting next to me, you were explaining something to me, and then it felt very, very familiar. You felt very familiar to me, I mean, and I felt comfortable. And well, I think it was an auspicious dream, I would say. I want to believe that anyway.
Yeah, no, there are dreams like that. And it's true, we have gone through some very rough, you know, the emotional part. Yeah. Like many people, they've gone through some rough stuff, and yeah. And so yeah, that's true. And it's emotions are so watery, right? And yeah. and you have to hold your, you know, like I said, who was it, Linda? Maybe I talked to her. I said, you don't mm-hmm. hold on to me, but you use me to remind yourself how to hold yeah. on to yourself, right? And yeah. And then yes, and the familiarity is when we notice that we're all one. Because I am you, you are me, we're all the same. Yeah. And it feels mm-hmm. beautiful. It's a place of where the love is, right? Yeah. Thanks for sharing that dream.
one little question I had, a technical one. When I'm doing the core meditation, which, by the way, is changing very nicely as I continue doing it. And it's getting more, at the end, gets a very deep silence and spaciousness is showing up.
Nice.
And also I can notice that, yeah, when I start, you know, I'm more concerned with the mind trying to do it right and visualize everything, etc. But then there is like a clicking of something that then is like behind the mind. Then I know that, the mind was tricking me somehow, but now there is another way to approach it. It's very difficult to express in words.
I know, it's very difficult to explain, but it's exactly correct. That's right. You just let that click happen. We'll call it the click for you. And then you are outside the mind, and then real meditation starts. That's when meditation starts. Everything before is preparation.
And what about the chakras? Something that always comes there when I'm doing it is that you say in the meditation, and now let the light go of the core tube go into the and feel the chakras. My question is twofolded. Are the chakras looking upwards, and are they a little bit in front of the tube, or are they inside?
Good question. When you're doing the core meditation, just think of a neon tube or just a tube of light, and then you basically directly out of the tube come like little branches out, and these are the, and they spin out into like these funnels. They go out from the core. The light goes out. Like in Spanish, it's called ojo de luz. Have you heard this word? When you look at a person directly from the front, you look into a chakra. You will look right into the core. There's basically the light. It's because the light, when it moves into duality, it starts to spin, and it causes a color. So that's where the different dimensions, the seven chakra dimensions, are born. But so there is the multiplicity of the chakras, and then there is the core. So the reason that you from the core bring the light outwards, it teaches you to kind of
like a vortex of light.
Yes, it comes out exactly.
All right. Yeah. So they are like flat, looking upward and downwards. And the light moves around it?
The crown chakra goes up, the base down, and then the other chakras, they open to the front and also to the back. So they go directly. And so don't make it too complicated. Just allow because it happens by itself. You know, you just pull the light up. You let it emerge out of that chakra, and then watch what happens or feel it.
Yeah.
And have you tried to meditate just without the core of practice?
Yes.
How is that?
I have done. There is of everything. I mean, there are times in which maybe I'm too tired and I get too sleepy, maybe, or there are times where my mind is very active. But then there are other times where this spaciousness comes, and then I go even with the questioning, who am I, and all that. What am I? Like that, because I was doing that sometime before too, but I have been doing more the core, because believing that it was in my case more needed to establish a strong foundation of concentration psychic strength to keep there and not let my mind wandering too much.
Okay,
because it tends to do that. Yeah. But yes, I have done that too, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. Yeah, continue doing that. And if you want to make your mind stronger, use the yantra to focus, or, you know, mm-hmm. just look at the yantra, gaze, you know, mm-hmm. and close your eyes and gaze again, and don't let your mind wander. Try that here and there as well, maybe 3 times a week.
Yeah,
add that.
Yeah, I do that too, yeah.
Yeah.
I was
okay.
doing the flame thing. Okay, wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds good. You're doing good. Thank you. Thanks for connecting. Okay.
Thank
Bye.
You. Thank
love.
You.
Bye. Bye. Okay, so good. We have the last hand now for today, and that's 4922. Who's that?
Hi.
Yeah.
Am I connected? This is
yes.
Agnes.
Agnes, hi there. Oh, we haven't talked in a long time.
We
hi.
Haven't talked at all. No, thank you. I actually just realized that the call is on now.
Oh.
And I got out of bed running.
Okay.
Because I needed this. I really needed this.
I know.
I wrote about this module that is such a tough one for me.
I
have on our one-on-one 2 months ago, I talked about this, that I need my heart to open.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have actually not expected a module only on the heart chakra.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talked, you know, somebody talked about it once they received it before me, I was like, oh, my God, it's coming. And then as soon as I received it, I could not open it. It mm-hmm. just, there was just something I just, and the more I could not open it, the more it just stressed me out.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not get myself to start, and I would just sit down and put on the MP3 and just, I don't know what it's... And so it's been so, so confusing. And I try to meditate, I do, but I'm just all over the place. This is.
Well, I'm glad you're connecting. I'm glad you're connecting.
Yeah.
I've been really on my mind. Yeah, because so where? How can I help you? What is it you think you're stuck on? Where is
I don't know. I really don't know. And the funny thing is that I've been talking to you in my mind, and... this night, I missed the call last night because I thought it was today, only today.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was meditating, I said, Aradhima, what is going on with me? I don't know. I'm stuck. My legs are just not moving, or rather my spiritual legs. And you came up and I was asking you what is going on with my soul? Why can't I just... You know, I can practice the aversion and attraction. I do that pretty well, actually.
Mm.
And I feel very strong in my core. I don't let things just stir me up so easily. But when it comes to this, I don't know what it is. I can't really. It's so foggy and stuff. And then you told me, you said something about entities. I don't remember exactly what you said.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the last thing that came out of your mouth before I got up. I woke up.
Mm.
And... I wanted to write about it, and then I said, no, I need to connect. I need to get on that line, and I hope I do.
Well, let's do something together. And for everybody here, we're just going to renounce. And we used the word earlier that mm-hmm. to renounce, if you like, it's your choice mm-hmm. to renounce all alliances mm-hmm. with dark forces, demonic entities, with everything that is not suitable and is not working for the oneness, to renounce through all lifetimes everything and just say no, and that you are choosing only the oneness and to live for the oneness, which is love, which is light, which is truth. And so it is. And let's be silent for 3 seconds. Yeah, and just knowing that which appears dark and is starting to move now is also part of you, but it's so splintered off. It's so the other. It's so in sorrow and pain that we're just sort of lost it almost. It floated away. So knowing that we're deeply knowing that we're actually already whole. We did that in the beginning, so you might want to go back to the once I'll put it up for a replay. You're just in the beginning. We just went deeper into the heart where everything is already at one.
Mm-hmm.
Are you feeling that undulating, that movement, that wobbliness right now?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so it's moving. And it's moving, and you're really stuck in the heart, eh? It's so stuck in the heart.
Feel,
so,
yeah.
You don't have to, I get a sense you have some background in from past lives in Arabic kind of sort of dark arts or something. You know, there's something like that going on. So there's like these genies, you know, that are, and all that kind of stuff. These are helpers that help the ego, they help personal things, and sometimes you're caught in that, so just going to allow that to clear as well. And what feeling are you having right now? What is happening in your heart?
I'm completely shaking my upper part, actually.
Yeah. Feel it coming out of the back as well, out of the kidneys. So when you meditate, Agnes, and do you experience like a really nice state where your energy is kind of changing and you're kind of somewhat silent?
I do.
You do? Okay. So what you're going to do is when you get to the next meditation, I don't want to, because most of it is already breaking up right now, and but what you're going to do is this. You're going to go into a deep meditation, and then you have to reach a pretty high state, and then you're going to do this. The sound is K-R-I-N-G, and you're doing like this. You do this. Kring! 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 And you can then also do it very high voice, like I just said. Kring! And now I need to say, and everybody else who's listening, you only do this 3 days in a row. You don't do more. You don't do this if you have to, you know, like maybe do it in the evening or like late afternoon or something. You don't want to go driving afterwards. It's a very powerful sound. And if you don't really are struggling with something so difficult, don't do it at all. So it's just something to break up that is really stuck. Now, this is a very dualistic approach, right, as you're seeing, because essentially if we're using the non-dual approach, you will basically write down or assess your experience, shaking, what's the opposite? Stuck, what's the opposite? Numb, what's the opposite? And you reconcile these parts because they're all, you're just ill polarized. That's all what you're experiencing. Does this make sense, Agnes?
Mm-hmm. It does.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do some breathing too. Do you do some Kapalbhati? I can see that you're breathing.
Yeah,
you
do.
Okay.
Yeah. I've done that before too, before the modules.
Yeah.
Something else.
Yeah. And notice when you wander off and when you lose trust and when you get lost. This is you need to see this. This is forces that you need to catch. You can't just go with it. You have to stop and say, what is going on here? We're going to learn all this in the power module. You need to learn to check what is happening here. This is not, I'm not feeling quite 100%. Something is off and you need to notice. Yeah? This is helping?
It definitely is. And this is what I've been doing, especially today. I just ask God, what is this? This is really not me. But it just took over completely during this module, really. And I really, 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 really didn't see it coming, but I was aware that this is definitely not of me, so to say. I was.
Yes, and beautiful you saw that. It's all perfect because here we are talking about it and clearing it. You just went through a very long cleanse, basically. So it's good. It's perfect, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's very heavy, then it can, you know, it's like, you know, BC, it's been raining for weeks, you know. I haven't seen the sun in a while. So it's like sometimes it just rains for a long time, but the sun is still there, you know. So you did
definitely.
Good. You did good. Okay.
Thank you so
okay.
Much.
You're
much
welcome.
Love to you. Thank
you too. Okay. Bye, Agnes. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. So let's just close our eyes for a moment and just take a deep breath and just let all go. Just know that that essentially we're all in one heart, one love, and that everything else is just words. The come and go, experiences that come and go. We have deep gratitude, respect, and humility. Rite Pundarika Maryastam Pratah Surya Samaprabham Pashankushadaram Saumyam Varadabhaya Hastakam Trinetram Raktavashanam Bhakta Kama Duram Bhaji Om. Thank you. I deeply bow to your hearts. Thank you for being here. We're all making this happen together, sharing the space. So God bless you. And have a wonderful week. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
The moderator has left the conference.